when they came out with this year's Best Places to Work rankings for the federal government. Deloitte and the Partnership for Public Service added a couple of new angles. Now you can see the best and worst by occupation and management category, as well as by mission and agency size. Joining me with highlights of this year's rankings, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Vice President of Research and Evaluation at the Partnership. And Mallory, it's kind of an exciting transitional time, but this results that are just out this morning really cover the last year of the Obama administration, correct?
Correct. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on the call. So, right, the data that we have in the Best Places to Work in the federal government rankings come from the 2016 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey data. So this survey was administered during the spring and summer of 2016. It'll be a couple more months till there's a new data point out. But we really wanted to focus on who are the federal workers that are completing the really important missions that Americans depend on. You know, the people who are focused on public health, the ones who are making the vaccines, making sure that our water supply is safe, looking at law enforcement and border protection, national security, energy and the environment, and infrastructure.
And before we get into some of the details of the new methodology, we should get this one right out of the way. NASA is again at the top of the large agency rankings. And if you look at it by individual management category, leadership, training, are people suited for the jobs they're doing? NASA, the intelligence community, commerce, a few others consistently come up in the top across all those categories.
Correct. So this doesn't change any of the rankings we released in December, but it provides another cut at the information. One thing that we've heard again and again from federal agencies is how they think of themselves as not always by small agency, medium agency, large agency, as we've done the Best Places to Work rankings. What they really focus on is the work that they do. That's what brings federal employees to work every day and inspires them to do their best. And so when you look at some of these cuts, you find some new agencies at the top to really learn from. Within law enforcement and border protection, the top-ranked two agencies are within DHS. You have the Coast Guard at number one and Citizenship and Immigration Services at number two. Particularly, USCIS has put a lot of work into their workforce in the past year, so there's a lot of lessons to be learned there. Within public health, you see the CDC. This is an agency that the public trusts tremendously when it comes to providing important information. Within infrastructure, where it's the Federal Highway Administration, not the U.S. Department of Transportation. Within national security, it's the intelligence community. And within energy and the environment, it's the Environment and Natural Resources Division at the Department of Justice.
Let's talk about that last one for a moment, energy, environment. Mm-hmm. In the overall rankings, the EPA doesn't rank, it's kind of middling in the middle of the rankings, and it's pretty much in the middle of the energy and environment category also. That's kind of an interesting finding.
Yeah, absolutely. So within each of these subcategories, you actually do see a really wide range of where agencies are. Within energy and the environment, the top one is the Department of Justice, which is up almost at 86% satisfaction and commitment. The bottom one is, sort of surprisingly, is the National Park Service at the U.S. Department of Interior, and that's over at 53%. And so within each of these categories, you do have a wide range. One also thing that I'll note is, for the most part, we're looking at the subcategories with these mission rankings. There's a few notable exceptions, one of them being EPA, which you mentioned. It was sort of hard for us to imagine talking about energy and the environment without including EPA.
Sure.
But it also is worth noting that when you're comparing a department-level agency like EPA or Department of Energy to something like a much smaller division at DOJ, the Environment and Natural Resources Division, you, to a certain extent, it's a little bit of comparing apples and oranges, department versus a small subcomponent.
Well, people love their own football team, but they hate the NFL.
Right, exactly. I'm not great with sports metaphors, but I think that's exactly right.
And if you look at some of the agencies at the bottom of the mission categories, in this case, like the National Park Service, or in the case of the mission of law enforcement and border protection, you've got Secret Service at the bottom there, not only at the bottom, but with really low numbers. You see agencies that have had visible and public and, in some cases, embarrassing scandals or problems over the past year or so.
I think that's exactly right. And you know, right at this moment, we have a large number of vacancies at the top positions for almost every one of these agencies. And people are going to be coming into those roles over the next several months. And one of the things that we would encourage them to look at is, you know, is look at these data. So when, you know, new secretaries come in, new chief operating officers, the best places to work in the federal government data provides a really valuable source of information on where some of those, you know, booby traps lie. One of the things that, I always like to look at is there's a question in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey that says, do you feel comfortable raising an issue that arises? That's not the exact wording, but it's really sort of a whistleblower question. I would encourage every new appointee to look at where their scores are, because if people don't feel comfortable raising issues that arise, you're exactly right. You're going to be likely to be sort of the next agency with a big issue that comes up. And that really profoundly affects how the workforce feels.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, Vice President of Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. And let's talk about that a little bit more. As a new team comes in, and let's face it, it's controversial. And we're seeing a lot of, I guess, everything from resistance actively to passive. We don't really know the extent of what's going on in the bureaucracy. But clearly, it's of interest to that incoming team as the managers get in place. How should they use this to maybe help smooth the waters a little bit?
Sure. So, you know, you're a new incoming political appointee. You're going to need to learn about the agency. You're going to need to learn how the agency operates, what the agency's responsibility is. You also, frankly, probably want to know what's the next thing that might end up on the front page of the Washington Post. And so there's a couple great resources that are out there. One is the U.S. Government Accountability Office released 2 weeks ago the high-risk list. And this is a list that GAO, based on its tremendously robust methodology, has identified at greatest risk of waste, fraud, abuse, or mismanagement. This is a great place to start to find out where people should be paying attention.
Now listen, we look at that one like a new romance novel. We just all eat it up when it comes out.
Well, that's exactly right. Exactly. Also, the Office of the Inspector General within every agency is a great sort of canary in the coal mine. The Partnership for Public Service and Grant Thornton did a report last year really looking at what the relationship between the agency secretary and the Office of the Inspector General can be. And that's a great resource. And I will say the third is the STATA. We have the best places to work in the federal government rankings. And you can see when you look at the trend data that we have agencies that are starting to slip and move down, or agencies that are going up. I would look at the types of activities that have been happening with the workforce and see what they can do. We all know that there's a hiring freeze right now. It doesn't apply to every position and every agency, but it only makes training all that much more important and making sure that the workforce is ready to do what it needs to do.
And given how high the intelligence community comes up in almost all the rankings, in national security, it's number one in that mission area, but it's also number one for agencies of large size, number two of agencies of large size, and it also comes up number two or three in all of the categories of management. It seems to me that given the, let's say, distance that seems to have developed between the new administration and the intelligence community, there's maybe room here to come together when and if the administration understands what they're actually inheriting.
Sure, it's a great resource. And, you know, the intelligence community in our data are represented as a block, because we've blocked together all of the agencies into one group so that you can't discern how many different individuals work at each agency. And that's because of the anonymity that we need to maintain for those data. But there's really some very positive things happening there that could be replicated and need to continue.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Vice President of Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Find this interview and a link to all the rankings and continued coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.